Welcome to the Fundraising Leadership Podcast, Episode 6. I'm Janice.
And I'm David.
So we're going to talk today about that great blog post that you wrote, David, about dealing with difficult emotions. And maybe you sort of mentioned in the blog, but maybe give a little context as to why that was bubbling up for you.
Oh my God. You mean give some context as to the fact that I'm a human being and I have emotions? I mean, when don't I? And I did mention something in the blog post around being sensitive. Like some of us, myself included, are more sensitive than others. Mm-hmm. That is to say, we experience our own emotions strongly. And we can pick up on emotions that others are having. And neuroscience is now informing us that we have something called mirror neurons and we can actually sense other people's emotions. Mm-hmm. And it just so happens that I pick up on them as strongly as I pick up on my own.
Yeah. And there's... I think there is a way in which I've met people who sort of like they think they don't have emotions at work. It's like, oh no, when I'm at work, I'm in work mode, and you know, I obviously we know that everybody has emotions.
Yeah, and there may have been a time in organizational history when in more recent times in the Industrial Revolution and post-industrial time when. You know, we were just human automatons. We showed up to work and, you know, we were building Model T Fords and our job was to put 6 lug nuts on the wheel. And that's all that was being asked of us. And Mr. Ford played mind-numbing music in the background so we didn't have to experience or express any of our emotions. But thankfully, those days are over.
Yeah.
So... I do think that the modern workplace is evolving. We have the whole emotional intelligence movement. Mm-hmm. And as leaders, we come to work as with all our emotions, and we want that from ourselves and the people with whom we work.
Yeah. So one of the things that you asked our readers to do, which would be fun for us to talk about, is to share a time when they artfully handled a difficult emotion. So why don't you tell us about a time when you did that?
Yeah, and also a time when maybe didn't handle it so skillfully, and maybe you can share one of those with the audience. So for me, there's one experience that I had where I was dealing with a very senior leader in one of the previous organizations where I served and led a team. And this individual was criticizing some work that had been done by one of the staff members that worked for me. And so a whole bunch of emotions came up at once for me. Like there was some feeling of shame, around like, oh, I did something wrong here. Like, or we did something wrong. But then also what came up was like my attack dog, like defensive, like I'm going to defend this person. I didn't think she did anything wrong. And who are you to say that, you know, this person who's a wonderful, wonderful person did something wrong when she was just doing her best. Anyway, I was feeling that well up all at once. And rather than, because I knew in that particular moment, it was not going to serve to let all of that out. Mm-hmm. So I did self-management. It's a coaching context from some of our work as coaches. And just took responsibility for the impact that the work we had done had had on this particular circumstance and said that we would correct it. And that was kind of it. You know,
yeah.
Apologized, you know, that we had not met the expectations that were there. And then we went and corrected the work. So,
yeah. Anyway. What I like about what you're saying is there's a way in which we can feel our feelings and name them, and then we can decide, you know, based on like whether it's going to serve the situation or not going to serve the situation, we can decide, you know, then how we want to act, right? So there's a letting ourselves like have our experience. You know, sometimes people will say to me, oh, I feel bad because I thought that or I felt that. And I always say, like, you shouldn't feel bad about feeling something or thinking something, but you have to take responsibility for your behavior, right? And read the situation and decide what is going to serve the situation and what sort of behavior do I want.
Yeah. To do. You know, it goes to what you and I talk about quite often in leadership is there has to be some self-awareness. First of all, I'm experiencing a soup of emotions right now. I'm triggered, mm-hmm. right? And then there is the, what we call the awareness of the environment or situation where we say, okay, having this internal thing going on, and then there's this space that requires something. So, and then breathe, and then take an action from there, as opposed to just reacting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like the difference between responding and reacting.
Yeah. And so for me, you know, you mentioned like a time when you didn't. I was thinking about, you know, being in a volunteer situation with a group of people, and there was a bit of a pattern developing where we would decide something and then we would come back together and talk about the same thing again, you know, despite the fact that it was sort of like, okay, a decision has been made and it's time to get into action, which I find very triggering. And what I've come to learn about myself and sort of have to really self-manage is that my default in those situations is to disengage. And, you know, I used to honestly believe that that didn't have an impact, you know, because I'm just, you know, I'm not saying anything or doing anything. And, you know, what I realize now is, of course, that has an impact. I mean, people in the room can feel, you know, other people's disengagement, but also then whatever, you know, wisdom or information that I could have put in to help us, you know, overcome this pattern was lost. You know, I was withholding something that could have been really useful to that.
Yeah. Team. So just to clarify, the emotional response was something like agitation or frustration.
Frustration, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And then the reaction to it was withdraw.
Yeah.
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 So great learning for you. So now that you're more aware, how do you, like, when we go over in our own business, when we go over and over the same things, how are you doing with it now?
Well, that, I think what I've learned is that for me, withdrawing, which can, you know, can feel like going into my own head and can even sort of feel like physically sort of leaning back in my chair, you know, like there's a physical manifestation of kind of like, oh, I'm getting a little bit out here, that now I can sort of, you know, not all the time, but sometimes more often, kind of catch myself and say, okay, I need to actually lean in and say, you know, say something. So I think it's almost like, you know, for you and me, we sometimes have the opposite, right? Like sometimes your response is like, say something, and mine is not to say something. So it's like, we have to know, right? There's no right or wrong, but it's kind of knowing what your default is. And then what are the signals for you that you're in
there? Yeah. Well, what I love about what you're saying is that the emotion is a signal, it's information. And now what I hear is like you can use that information called agitation or frustration and then put it and lean in. Like you can actually now use that energy. Sometimes we call emotions energy in motion.
Mm-hmm.
And you can actually put that energy into motion now.
And trust that, you know, if I'm feeling that and I'm in a, you know, and I'm in a group, but it's like, that's in there. It's not just me, you know,
right.
Like to sort of understand that, like, I have some wisdom from this frustration and I wouldn't be feeling it if it actually wasn't present. Right.
Yeah.
So
I'm curious because we're going to recommend an exercise for the audience here in a moment, but I'm curious about like, how it works for you if you just name it, like, I'm feeling a little frustrated by this discussion right now. How has that served you Or does it, or doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, because I think what it helps to do is then there's sort of a lot of times when that happens, there's kind of a relief in the room, like, oh, somebody named the elephant.
Yeah.
In the room, you know, and not everyone will be feeling that way, but, you know, more and more I've come to see that, you know, often we are mirroring what's showing up in other people, and that I'm not alone, you know, in that sense. Or maybe, you know, maybe I am, but I'm still having that experience that's creating some kind of barrier for me to be fully engaged, right?
Right.
So even if I am alone in that feeling, by naming it, other people can, you know, maybe say to me like, well, we don't really feel like there's frustration here, so what do you need to do to get into this?
Or,
you know, what do you need to do to clear that out of the way?
Well, that's, you know, you're pointing us right where we want to point the audience, which is to what we call clearing. And so here's something you all can try. And both Janice and I have been in organizations where we've done this and led it or been part of teams that have done it. And you can come into a meeting and establish a practice called clearing. And it goes something like this. Say whatever you need to say to become present. So you might be coming in off a weekend where you had to be with your mom in the hospital all Saturday and Sunday, and now you're showing up for your weekly staff meeting on Monday, and you're still carrying sadness and frustration, and you're just exhausted, and you're melancholy. So he's like, I'm feeling melancholy right now because I just spent the weekend with my mom and in the intensive care unit. And you clear it so that you can become present for what is needed in that meeting. Mm-hmm. And if you want to try that on, I recommend, and it's a very effective way to just to go around very quickly and say whatever you need to say to become present. And if you're clear, you just say, okay, I'm present.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's very powerful. And, you know, and I think often too, like nowadays, there's so much rushing from one thing to the other.
Mm.
And that often, you know, that there's like so much time wasted, I think, in meetings because people actually aren't present. They're still holding on to whatever happened in the last meeting that they've literally like, you know, run to the next one. And or they're thinking about what's like the 16 other things, you know, that are coming up next. So just actually creating that ritual of saying, checking in with yourself and saying, yeah, am I actually fully here? And if I'm not, what do I need to do? You know, which could be like, and it could be a practical thing. Like, I actually am worried that I'm going to be late for my next meeting and I need to send a quick email, you know, to give that person a heads up, because otherwise I'm going to be just like ruminating about that through this, you know, this hour together. So I really love that. And so we're going to invite everybody to go and put that into practice and see what the impact is.
And let us know, you know, on the blog, or reach out to us. Let us know how that works for you and your team. Or if you want to speak with us, give us a call.
Yeah. All right. We'll see you again soon.
All right. Take care.
Bye.